Shabbat Shalom. Let's see. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. All right, let me shrink that. Shrink that. And we're ready to blow the trumpet.
No,
oh, no, we're not.
Not yet. Make all that smaller, too. You can shrink everything.
I gotta shrink everything.
You can shrink everything.
That's shrunken. Shrunken.
Shrunken.
And there you go.
Yeah, the study is there. Word. That's WordPad. You gotta change it. You didn't open it right there.
Let's see. Open with WordPad.
No, Office. No. Angela, Word.
Oh, I thought you said open with WordPad.
No, it wasn't WordPad. Open with
okay.
WordPad.
Just read. Okay, open with Microsoft Word?
Yes. Remember?
There you go. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Oh, it's so nice to be here today on the Sabbath. Oh, it's relaxing. We're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And today is the Sabbath of God. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, maker of all things, we come to you today, Heavenly Father, knowing you hear us and you watch us. We pray that you'll always cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that we have a Sabbath to rest in you and learn about your word and just fellowship with brothers and sisters. And I pray all these people that do call me that say they're coming, I wish you'd trouble them because they all say they're going to come and somehow they just never seem to make it. But anyway, Father, show us where to advertise because our advertising is coming to an end and show us what to do to get the word out and broadcast ourselves better. Heavenly Father, show us where brothers and sisters are, and we'll go get them or bring them to us. I pray that you'll bless this day, bless everyone here, strengthen everyone, heal everyone, comfort everyone. Lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do, Father, in everything we say, in places we go, and give us the right words to speak to people, to win other people to you. Heavenly Father, bless this Sabbath, bless the study. Let it be beneficial to everyone. And I just thank God that we could be here today in this century proclaiming your name in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Well, we're in the famous Holland Vault, Tennessee. It's nice to be here today, even though it's a little cloudy. We got our 5.5 inches of rain or more. So we are definitely replenished. And it definitely, I keep thinking it washes away stuff and God just does exactly what he needs. But we're in Honeywell, Tennessee. There's our phone numbers. There's our email. There's my website. It's all running good. Server's running well. Lord willing, I have to get together and put together another computer soon. Anyway, today is December 23rd, 2017, in the 21st century. Here we are. So, this Pope Gregory year is coming to an end. Isn't it amazing? And we also always acknowledge the calendar of God. Now we're in the 10th month of God, Tevet, and it's the fourth day already. So, there we are. Time waits for no one. And time keeps on ticking into the future. Isn't it amazing? In a weird way, we are traveling through time because since you got up this morning, here we are at this point. We traveled through time. Now we can never redo that. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up thoughts and concepts and subjects maybe you're not familiar with or haven't heard or haven't had a chance to contemplate or haven't had a chance to really examine. But I'd like to undelete some things for you because seems like somebody's painted us in a picture called your life. And we're trying to make our own lives in God. So anyway, all I can tell you is my server is still running over there. And it's for your benefit, actually. You could read the studies. You could listen to them. You could watch them. while you're even doing chores in your house or whatever you're doing, you can just click on a study and have it play in the background or something. Anyway, you could download them to your MP3 players too. I believe that we're in, are we streaming right now? We should be streaming. We're also in a chat room called Pow Talk, where you've been utilizing that for many years to get the gospel out. There's the URL you put in the real player, in case you don't know how to see me. I haven't received any invitations lately. I have a funny feeling it has to do with this, all these holidays that are happening. And I haven't received, people are preoccupied with that. So maybe after this all blows over, it's just a couple of days and it's over, you know what I mean? It comes and goes, and it's no, to us, it's no consequence. We just live on, and time goes on. Anyway, I like to always teach the Hebrew roots from the scriptures, not from Judaism. It's a schedule. Well, we are definitely, the winter solstice was Thursday, December 21st. So, we are officially in winter at this moment. Winter time. We are in winter, everyone. Isn't it amazing? It doesn't feel like winter, but I mean, it's Tennessee winter. Last night, Carrie woke up and it was 65. Today, of course, it's like 40 or, Yeah. Anyway, it's 'tis the season to do all the made-up holidays or not.
Yeah.
Make sure you always tell people, once upon a time, Christmas was banned or outlawed in 1659 in America. That's very important to explain. That has nothing to do with Messiah, Christ. Has nothing to do with God. And you can go to the History Channel there. They think that link right there works. If it doesn't, just go look up Christmas Unwrapped, and you'll see how everything was made up and how everything was embellished over the years. And it's amazing. It's just amazing how people just jumped in on that, and it was all cause of materialism, retail. It was good sense, as they say, dollars and cents. And they made lots of money over the years. Anyway, pretty soon it'll be Pope Gregory's 2018. Wow. Excuse me? My phone? Well, anyway, it's 2018. Gonna be 2018 soon. Isn't that strange? Here's some Xmas cheer, or not. In San Francisco, I don't live in California anymore, but in San Francisco, officials have stopped a man who was plotting a terror attack in San Francisco over the holidays. The 26-year-old reported stated that Christmas was the perfect day for a terror attack in San Francisco and did not need an escape plan because he was ready to die. That's the people that are running around here in the world, in America. In New York, they've already announced they were stepping up security around churches for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Isn't that amazing how we have to do these things? And that's only because in other countries, in York, an elderly woman, the second defendant in a case where she and her 80-year-old husband allegedly transporting $336,000 worth of marijuana, they said it was intended as Christmas gifts. They haven't been jailed yet, but, And then, of course, thank God we're not in these countries, because hundreds of Muslims stormed Coptic Church in Egypt. They smash contents, assault Christians. And then we have another article. Some lady she's venting that her kids, they're just ungrateful. Why some families are boycotting presents this year. and that's what this whole holiday is all about. What did you give me? What did you get me? What did I get you? And it has nothing to do, it still has nothing to do with Christ. They just throw that in at the end. And then there was a terrorist attack in Pennsylvania. A man targeted police officers in a string of shootings. One injured, suspect killed. That just happened. So these are all the things. That's why during these holidays, nowadays, you have to really be watchful. Be mindful who's round and about you. Don't park next to suspicious vehicles when you go to the store. Make sure you know, exactly what's going on all around you. Anyway, today's topic is, what is a possible time Yeshua the Messiah may have been born? And remember, this is not a fact. This is just a thought, okay? I want to make sure I'm preempting the study, okay? Here are some scriptures to consider as a possibility of Yeshua's birth. While much of the world celebrates the birth of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, on December the 25th, which is wrong, can the actual day of Yeshua's birth be determined from scriptures? Not really. Not really, because you could, a lot of ways to look at it. Some people say spring. Some people say winter. So we're going to explore just one possibility, okay? This is just one possibility. The first passage we will consider begins with the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah. He's an important character, believe it or not. That's Luke 1:5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, and he was of the course of Abia. Most people run right over that scripture and never knew even know what it means. And they were, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So they're Levites, yeah? Luke 1:18 says, and it came to pass that while Zechariah executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and most people don't even know what that means. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of God. And then in Luke 1:23 it says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed into his own house. A lot of people never consider that. They just read right through it. Luke 1:24 says, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived. The clue given to us here is that Zechariah was of the course of Abia. And if you take time out, there are 24 courses of the temple where the priests used to go. King David, one of God's instructions, divided the sons of Aaron into 24 groups to set up a schedule by which the temple of Jehovah would be staffed with priests all year round in an orderly manner. And after the 24 groups of priests were established, lots were drawn to determine the sequence in which each group would serve in the temple. And you have to go to Chronicles to understand all this. 1 Chronicles 23:6. David divided them into courses. There it is right there. Among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon and Kohath and Merari. That sequence is as followed in 1 Chronicles 24:1-6, the divisions of the sons of Aaron. And then you have 1 Chronicles 24:7-19. And you can see all the names there, okay? See all those names that you always run by? Right. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of Jehovah according to their manner, under Aaron their father, as Jehovah God of Israel had commanded him. That's 1 Chronicles 24:19. Now each one of the 24 courses of priests would begin and end their service in the temple on the Sabbath, a tour of duty being for 1 week. 2 Chronicles 23:8. This is a good study about, even if it's not the birth of Messiah, it's still a good study about the courses and you know, people never talk about. 2 Chronicles 23:8. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada, the priest, had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. So it says here they did it on the Sabbath, right? And they left on the Sabbath, just like I told you. On three occasions during the year, all the men of Israel were required to travel to Jerusalem for the feast of Jehovah. So on those occasions, all the priests would be needed in the temple to accomplish the crowds. Obviously, those three feasts are, which we do constantly, because they all have to do with the Messiah. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles, right? And that's found in Deuteronomy 16:6. Three times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah the God in the place which he shall choose. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, they always brought an offering. They don't appear before God empty. Every man should give as he's able, according to the blessing of Jehovah thy God, which he hath given thee. I remember people in the past tell me, oh, there's no scripture saying you have to give an offering to God. Well, it says every man, and that means woman too, shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of Jehovah that he gave you. Right. So the yearly cycle of service in the temple. God's calendar begins in the spring during the month of Ha'aviv, Nisan. So the first course of priests would be that of the family of Jehoiarib, who would serve for 7 days. The second week then would be the responsibility of the family of Yadaya. The third week would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and all the priests would be present for the service. Then the schedule would resume with the third course of priests, the family of Hiram. By this plan, the 24 courses were completed. The general cycle of courses would repeat. And that's what they did. So, in a period of a year, each group of priests would serve in the temple twice on their scheduled course, in addition to the three major feasts, for a total of 5 weeks of duty. So, having that all under your belt, and you know, you can always review that slower later, we go back to the conception of John the Baptist. Now, back to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. That means his course. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. After those days, that's 124 of Luke, beginning with the first month, Ha'aviv, Nisan, in the spring, around March or April, the schedule of the priest's course would result with Zechariah serving during the 10th week of the year. This is because he was a member of the house of Abiah, or Abijah, the eighth course, and both the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the 15th to the 21st of Ha'aviv, Nisan, and Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which is the 6th of Sivan, would have occurred before his scheduled duty. So we have such an advantage at our congregation because we are very aware of the feasts of God, and we all should learn about the courses and, you know, that whole thing, which is very important. This places Zechariah's administration in the temple at the beginning of the second Sabbath of the third month, Sivan. That's what it seems like. And there we have a little diagram I made a long time ago. This is from a study I did many, many years ago. So there's the first month, second month, and the third, okay? And you can read, I'm not going to read all these to you, of course, but you can look at this up later. As you see, this one over here, verse Abijah. So Zechariah was of the course of Abijah. You see that right there in the second week? See him over there? That's his course. So anyway, there's the rest of the folks. So having completed his temple service on the third Sabbath of Sivan, Zechariah, see, it's the third Sabbath of Sivan, right? 1, 2, 3. There you go. So having completed his temple service on the third Sabbath of Sivan, Zechariah returned home and soon conceived his son John. So John the Baptist was probably conceived shortly after the third Sabbath of the month of Sivan. That's what it seems like, you know, if we're looking at it like this. So the conception of Yeshua. Now the reason that the information about John is important is because according to Luke, Yeshua was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's really important if you put it all together. Luke 1:24 says, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Luke 1:26 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Note that the verse 26 above refers to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, not Elu, the sixth month of the calendar. And this was made plain by the context of verse 24 and again in verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now working from the information about John's conception late in the third month, Sivan, and just advancing 6 months, we arrive late in the ninth month of Kislev, around November, December, for the time frame of the conception of Yeshua. Okay? So the birth of John the Baptist, based on the conception shortly after the third Sabbath of the month of Sivan, projecting forward an average term of about 10, I put lunar Sabbaths, 40 weeks, we arrive in the month Ha'aviv, Nisan. It would appear that John the Baptist may have been born in the middle of the month, which would coincide with Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So then the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th of the first month, Ha'aviv, and this is a likely date for the birth of John the Baptist. Well, that's what we think. The birth of Yeshua the Messiah, since Yeshua was conceived 6 months after John the Baptist, and we have established a likely date for John's birth, we need only move 6 months further down the calendar to arrive at a likely date for the birth of Yeshua. From the 15th day of the first month, Ha'aviv, we go to the 15th day of the seventh month, Ha'etanim. I mean, that's what it seems like. It does seem like that. What do we find on that date? It is the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. The 15th day of Ha'etanim begins the third and last feast of the year to which all the men of Israel were to gather in Jerusalem for the temple services. And that's, go back to Leviticus 23:34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this month, seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is for 7 days, and then there's a Sabbath at the end of it, which makes it eighth. Okay?
Did you mention that it did say that they were
overtaxing? Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, good. I didn't know that.
Then we have Emmanuel, God, which means God with us. We find in Isaiah 7:14. It says, behold, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, which is a real sign. And it's a virgin. This would be a sign. It's not a young maiden or some young girl, because unfortunately they all have women. They all have babies nowadays. But a virgin would be a sign, is going to conceive and bear a son, and they're going to call his name God with us, Emmanuel. And that's the Son of God had come to dwell with us, or tabernacle, on earth with his people. And we go from that verse to Matthew 1, and this confirmation says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John tells us. Amen. So the Feast of Tabernacles is for 7 days, and the eighth day is added. That's the Sabbath. You can find all that, and you guys should all know about this in Leviticus 23, because it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of the seventh month shall be a Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yehovah. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You should do. We don't do any work. It's a Feast of Tabernacles. The seventh day shall be a offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And on the eighth day, now there's an eighth day where there's a holy convocation. It's just like a Sabbath. We don't buy and sell. We don't work. And we're there for the whole week anyway. And you can read all about that. So we know all about this. I'm not going to keep reading this to you. 15th day of the 7 months, so we know all about Leviticus 23, because in our congregation, that's one of the chapters we must have read who knows how many times. So we got 8 days. Now one thought is, this is just a thought. Now don't quote me on this. It may be because the Hebrew infant was dedicated to God by performing circumcision on the eighth day after his birth. I don't know. That's just the concept. 8 days were accomplished. This, it says, the circumcising of the child, his name shall be called Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So this name Yeshua was by God himself. God named the child. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And Yeshua means he will save. So the infant Yeshua would have been circumcised on the eighth and last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a Sabbath day. The last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles is called Shemini Atzeret. Okay? So, in conclusion, if you have followed the above reasoning based on the scriptural evidence, a case can be seemingly made that Yeshua the Messiah was born the 15th of the month of Ha'etanim, on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which corresponds to our September and October, not December, time frame in the present calendar. And you can look at look up this little graph too when you get a chance. And there's the beginning of the new moons and John the Baptist and Yeshua and all that. I'm not going to read all that to you, but you can read all that later. So of course, the Feast of Tabernacles also has a threefold meaning. You know, we think about our brothers and sisters in the past, how God preserved them, and, you know, took care of them, covered them with the branch, and how we do that in our lives, and of course in the future. So it's interesting to note that Feast of Tabernacles was a feast of the ingathering of the harvest. It says it's called the Feast of Harvest, and that's what's really important about it. It says at the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in thy field, and the Feast of Ingathering, there it is, which is in the end of the year. That's the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. So we see that in the end of the world, that's what God says he's going to do, right? He's going to gather everyone together. And that's in Exodus 34:22. You can read all that, the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. So if Yeshua's first coming was on the 15th of Adonim, the feast of, first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, then it is quite reasonable to presume that the harvest of this year, of this earth, the ingathering of the second coming of Yeshua, the Messiah, will also occur on the precisely the same date. Now, some people, you know, this whole study, remember, it's just a thought. It's just a concept. It's not, you know, this is, I guess what I'm really proving is that it's definitely not on December 25th. Anyway, and also we went over the courses of the priest, which most people never talk about or don't even know it's in the Bible. They just go the course of Abiah. Like, you know, what's that mean? One problem with this possibility above is the verses below, they do not say it was a feast. That's the only problem. And that's Luke 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed. That's the whole reason they went there. With Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days of her accomplishing that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, some people tried to say, because of the feast, that's why there was no room. That's just implied. It doesn't say anything about a feast there, right? That's why I'm saying this study is like just concepts of thoughts, but it surely shows it's not, you know, this pagan stuff. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, some people say that only happens in the spring. That's not true, because if you know anything about shepherds, shepherds always watch over their flock, spring or winter. So, right. The wolf doesn't care if it's spring or when. He's still coming to eat the sheep. Right. So anyone who says that, it's, you know, that's a ridiculous scripture. Anyway, it says, and lo, the angel of Yehovah came upon them, and the glory of Yehovah shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, and behold, I bring you good tidings for great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Lord. Amen. So here we have that, which they don't give any indication. They were there because of a feast. They all went there to be taxed, right? So that sort of puts a, you know, sort of a wrench in the whole study, which, you know, I can't say. That's why I'm saying this is a concept.
It doesn't say it wasn't
a feast, and it doesn't say why all the places were filled. Maybe it was a twofold. Maybe it was a taxing and also a feast. Who knows? Maybe it had been a secular taxing, but maybe it was the feast of God. Who knows? We don't know. Anyway, they found it says, and this shall be a sign unto you, they shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, imagine this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, remember the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. Okay? When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they, and all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Wow. So, however, we do see from these verses above, all the manger scenes that's ever been created out there, and that you see even today, they're all wrong. It was the shepherds with the baby Yeshua. It was not the three wise men. Also, it never says three wise men in scriptures. So anyway, two guys could have brought two gifts, and who knows? Well, what I'm trying to say is everything is wrong out there. Simply put, scripture is not clear on this topic, and to point to a date as a fact would be a lie. That's why I'm telling you it's just a possibility. It's just a concept, okay? Now, the Catholics say, here's some Catholic information. Christmas comes from the Mass of Christ, or Jesus, Catholic, a Mass service which is sometimes called the Communion of or Eucharist. The Christ Mass service was the only one that was allowed to take place after sunset and before sunrise the next day. So people had it at midnight. So we get the name Christ Mass. The first recording date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25th was possibly 3336, that's just a possibility, 336 AD, during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. He was the first pseudo-Christian Roman emperor. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Jesus would be celebrated on the 25th of December, a Catholic connection. Boo.
Boo, yes. Boo, yes.
Anyway, many Orthodox and Coptic churches still use the Julian calendar and so celebrated Christmas on January the 7th, known as Little Christmas. I remember in my house, when I was a kid, we did both, which is December 25th, which had been on the Julian calendar. I couldn't wait I used to think, wow, January 7th is coming too, Little Christmas. Yeah, that happens too. This is only a thought on the subject. No one knows for sure. The thoughts above are presented as a possibility of the birth of Messiah Yeshua, not a fact. Again, no one knows exactly. One thing we do know for sure, it's not December 25th. Okay? Anyway, this is not a long study today, but I wanted to go over, the concept of the courses of the priests, and I wanted to go over the institution of the word Christmas and when it possibly started and all that kind of stuff. So remember, 'tis the season to be pagan. Beware of the false image of love and the false feelings and emotions. A lot of people are feeling lonely nowadays and depressed. That's ridiculous. These pagan feasts bring on false loneliness, depression, suicide, and oh yes, debt. Some people get violent on these days too, like I was showing you the news earlier, right? Xmas is coming again. Once upon a time, Xmas was banned in 1659 in America. So this is not a long study today, but hope you got something out of it. So just remember, the only birthdays that talk about in the Bible are Herod's and Pharaoh's. And it doesn't say they're evil. It just says when they were born. I'm sure everyone knew when they were born, and they definitely celebrated when Yeshua was born, right?
Yeah.
So if it's someone's birthday, I always go, it's so happy that you were born so you could serve God if you're a brother and sister and that you're here today. Don't make a big deal out of it and don't wish on, blow out the candles and wish. Right, don't make a wish blowing out the candles. Anyway, in closing, just try to be safe and walk circumspectly out there and watch, make sure you know everything that's going on around and about you, and watch people and watch who's around you and where you park and where you go. And, you know, I'm not saying be over, you know, paranoid or anything, but, you know, just be careful, be cautious. Yes, there's definitely evil out there that's trying to disrupt even this pagan holiday. I mean, the terrorists are trying to even disrupt that. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom, and we pray God will protect every one of us and be with every one of us and help every one of us. May God bless the food today and our singing and anything we do. And may God bless you and lead, guide, and direct you and help you and comfort you in everything that you go through in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is the study is over for today. And boy, I tell you, I can't wait till the whole thing blows over anyway. And it's going to blow over quick.
Blows over very quick.
Yeah, blows over fast. Okay, let me get off the mic. God bless everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There was definitely celebration whenever it was. Like you said. And I guess it's not entirely clear, even though that does... sound very logical when you factor in all the courses of the priests and so forth. But either way, he did tell us to do the Feast of Tabernacles, so we can do that anyway. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Well, thank you too. Any other responses? How are you sisters in California? Did you guys ever know about the courses of the priests or any of that?
I hadn't thought about them.
Or have you ever considered any of that? I don't know if you've considered that or even thought about the courses. Darlene and Olga, and I don't guess Teresa too.
Teresa,
are there any other comments? Nobody has anything else to say. Okay, go right ahead.
Shabbat Shalom, family, and surprise, surprise, before I came to,
whoops, lost you.
We lost you. What happened?
Before I came to, knowing about the true God of Israel, one of the, teachings I used to listen to, he went over the courses of Abaya, and he stated that no way could a Messiah have been born in September.
In September? Wait, did you mean December?
You mean no way he could be born in December? Or you said September? Whatever. Okay, well, Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop their video. God bless everyone. Well, come on up, Joe. I don't know what Olga, she said. She just faded away real quick. Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, correction. I meant to say December. I know that each priest had a certain time they were to serve.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you.